Good morning, Lake B. Please pray with me. Lord, you are always near to us. This is truth. No one knows us like you because you made us and you pronounced us good. We thank you this morning for your spirit that lives in us. We thank you that your spirit reminds us that not only are we not alone, but in that we have nothing to fear, not one thing. In these days we pray, be with us in our unknowing and uncertainty. Be with us in our deepest longings. Be with us in our sadness and grief. Sustain us with your abiding love. Guide us with your wisdom. Comfort us in our sorrow. Relieve us from our anxiety. And free us to receive your love. Free us to love others. Holy Spirit, we pray, come. Amen. A few years ago, a friend of mine was visiting me in my office. And at one point during our conversation, I noticed that her attention had moved from me to the calendar that was hanging on my wall. And she asked me, "What are you waiting for?" What do you mean, what am I waiting for? Do you always cross off every day on your calendar? Are you going on a trip? Is there some big event that's going to happen? What are you waiting for? I looked at my calendar, already knowing what she was talking about. I did have a habit of crossing off the days. She was right. Why was I doing that? I wasn't actually waiting for anything in particular. It was just sort of this weird thing of needing to cross off my days. I started wondering how many people had come into my office and wondered the same thing when they looked at my calendar. Hopefully, those of you that are list makers like me, you get it. Just crossing something off my list felt like I was accomplishing something, even if it was just living one more day. While I have stopped crossing off the days on my calendar, I will say that I've been counting the days that we have been in quarantine. In my prayer journal, I begin each entry with how many days has it been? Today is day 83. The last time we were together in person was March 1st. It was Communion Sunday. 83 days. Friends, that is truly a season. Those of you who know me well know that one of my favorite seasons each year is not winter, it's not spring, it's not summer, it's football season. I guess fall is my favorite season if we're talking about the weather, but it happens to be my favorite season because it's football season. I admit, as soon as I can, I take a look at the football schedule of the Seahawks and, of course, my beloved WSU Cougars, and I make sure that my weekends are planned around kickoff. If I can make the drive to Pullman and catch a game and be home in time for service on Sunday mornings, I will most definitely do it. I'll consult the kickoff times for the Seahawks and lament the 10 a.m. kickoffs on Sunday mornings. I know that's really sad, but I know that I'm not alone. For those of you who send me text updates from the pews while I'm preaching, very much appreciated. As far as college football season goes, if you start counting the season with the first Saturday of September, and your team happens to make it into bowl season, you could be looking at roughly 112 days. This has been the rhythm of my life for as long as I can remember. It is tied to special memories with good friends and family, in particular with my father. This COVID season, as I've already said, has already been 83 days. And in a few months, it will have lasted as long as a football season. All that to say this is officially a season. It's a period of time that is marked by a commonly shared experience or event. This season has its own language and vocabulary, distancing, PPE, quarantine. This season has its own wardrobe and accessories like face masks with your favorite team colors and logos. This season is finding new ways to celebrate key milestones in life, like high school graduation. This season is finding new ways of grieving. If these things like language and dress and grieving and celebrating are some of the markers of culture, then I think that this season has a culture that's unique to itself. Even for the church, this season has brought with it new ways of gathering in worship, new ways of learning how to care for one another, new ways of reading and seeing scripture and looking for God, and new things that we're praying about. COVID has brought with it the need to have to find new ways to live. We've had to be creative, and we've found some resilience even in the midst of ongoing uncertainty. And while I am counting down the days, what I'm not sure about is when this will all be over, when this season will end. As good as it is, even football season ends, it lasts 112 days. Like you, I wonder about this season ending. How long will we have to wait? How do we endure in the waiting? Even during Advent, the season of waiting, it's the season where we as Christians learn how to wait and how to wait in expectation. We all know that the wait is over on December 25th. The wait ends with Jesus. But what about this season of waiting for us? I was on a call Tuesday evening with a group of girls, high school seniors, and I asked them this question about waiting as I was thinking about this sermon. I asked them, what is it that you're waiting for? Here's what they said. I'm waiting to not feel like I'm walking on a tightrope anymore when I walk out of my house. I'm waiting for different news. I'm waiting to be able to focus finally on something different than what I think about every day. How about you? How about you? What are you waiting for? I want to invite you to take a moment to answer that question in the chat box, in the chat feed. What are you waiting for? I find myself waiting for the day when I can gather with friends and family without distance between us. I'm waiting to see how the financial impact of this will affect our lives on a daily basis if it hasn't already. I'm waiting to hear about school for our kids, what will happen in the fall. I'm waiting to see how soon I can travel. I had to cancel a trip like many of you had to cancel trips this spring. I'm waiting to see when I can travel. And I'm actually waiting for relief to come for communities of color who are experiencing COVID in vastly different ways. Someone said that we're actually not in the same boat. It's not the same for people of color as it is for others. We're not in the same boat. We might be in the same storm, but we're not in the same boat. I'm waiting for health disparity and education disparity and economic disparity. I'm waiting to see that gap close for communities of color. Many of us were waiting for this before COVID, and we are still waiting. This is definitely a season for waiting, isn't it? Well, if there's good news in all of this, this is what I think it is. Waiting is nothing new for disciples. Learning how to wait, especially in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of anxiety, is in part what forms us and shapes us, learning how to wait. Learning how to wait in that kind of context is what strengthens our faith. I'm guessing that if you and I take a look back into our lives, we will see that this is true, that this is a pattern, that there may be challenges and hardship and tough things that happen and us having to wait. And in that waiting, what it gets produced in us is faith. Today, our text comes from Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to look at it and realize that as we're looking at it, this is what the disciples were doing then as well. They were waiting. In Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus in his resurrection appears to his disciples and to others for 40 days, proving himself alive, preaching and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus instructs his disciples to stay in Jerusalem, not to leave there. And what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to wait. They were supposed to wait there for the Holy Spirit. Jesus says you're going to receive from the Holy Spirit all that you need to do on this earth what you were created to do, to be my witnesses, but you have to wait. After Jesus gave them these instructions, guess what happens next? Jesus left. Jesus bounces out, as young people would say. We call it, in theological terms, it's the ascension. Jesus ascended into the heavens right before their very eyes, and they stood there, mouths opened, eyes upward. My guess is that even though they had seen Jesus do many miraculous things, this one was astounding. At this point, you know, what do you do? Honestly, no one would have blamed them if they would have just said, "We're done. We're done. He's gone. He's probably not coming back, even though he said he's coming back. How do we know?" We actually don't know how many people that were there that day did leave, because they'd had enough. Following Jesus was a lot of drama. But thankfully, there were those who did exactly what Jesus said for them to do. Acts 1, 12 through 14. The apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room they were staying in. Those present were Peter and John and James and Andrew, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. They all gathered together constantly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. First of all, I'm grateful that the writer, many people think it was Luke, included this reminder that women were there too. And they did what Jesus instructed them to do. My paraphrase, all of you whose names I just read, go cram yourselves into that room and wait. And what did they do there? They did two things. They gathered together and they were devoted to pray. You can probably imagine a little bit of what that whole time was like in that stuffy room. All of the unknown stuff, the anxiety and the fear and the questions. Maybe where they were in there and there were some people that were complaining, some that were trying to encourage, other people who were weary, maybe tempers were flaring. Even in all of that, here's what they did. They gathered and they devoted themselves to pray. That's what they did while they were waiting. Even in the midst of our own anxiety in these days, our own not knowing, our own fears, our own weariness, our own anger and frustration and wondering, we too are called in this moment to gather and pray. I know that sounds counter to what we're experiencing with having to distance, but as I was thinking about this, I really believe that we are still called to be faithful to gathering, even if it's like this, even if it's virtually. I want to urge you not to give up the gathering, even if it is over Zoom. Friday, you should have received an email message from Session that was giving guidance for the next several months. And essentially, the guidance is this. We're going to continue in online worship through the entire summer because this is where we gather. We all know it's not the same, but we gather just like they did, not because we like it or not because it's the best, most, the best way that we know and have felt how to experience worship together. That's not why we gather. We gather because God has instructed us not to forsake gathering with other believers. Stay connected, whether it's through this means on Sunday mornings, or it's the Wednesday evening small group, or it's Justice League, or even if it's just an invitation from a few friends informally to get together. Don't forsake the gathering while we wait together for what is next. As I started preparing this sermon, I also began to wonder what would happen if those disciples, those men and women, would have said, "No, I'm done. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to that musty, crowded upper room. I'm not going to gather there." What if they had said that? The Holy Spirit would have come and no one would have been there. Part of this time in our own lives and in the life of Lake Berean Presbyterian Church and the life of the church in general is to be there. It's to be ready for God so that God can show us what is next. It is possible, friends, to miss the move of the Holy Spirit. The good news for us is that the Holy Spirit, yes, has come, and she's always moving in new and fresh ways, and we don't want to miss it. Perhaps especially in this time, the Holy Spirit is moving. The ancient text often characterizes overwhelming moments using floods as a metaphor for chaos. Admittedly, this season feels like that. It can feel like a flood coming over us, and it can feel like chaos. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, always hovers in the chaos. This is how creation actually got started. The Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, over the chaos, and the power of the Holy Spirit brings life out of all of it, out of chaos, out of grief, out of disappointment, out of violence, out of oppression, out of injustice. The move of God is always from death and chaos into life. The movement of the Holy Spirit is always in that direction. She cannot help it. That's what she does. While we wait and pray, I want to offer you something to wait with and to pray for. What is it that you think the world most needs to see, to know, and experience about the love of God? Honestly, this question captures my own imagination as a Christian. I want to see God's love and compassion and justice and mercy to become real. As I wait and pray, these are the things that keep my imagination alive when it comes to the church. What would the world free from that kind of injustice, the kind that we've been talking about for several weeks and months, what would that look like? And might the Spirit of God be moving us in that direction while we wait, while we pray? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill our imagination with new ways of being and new ways of acting and new ways of leading and new ways of working and new ways of relating and new ways of loving in this season. The liturgical calendar calls the season between Pentecost, which is next Sunday, so the season between Pentecost and Advent, which is in November, it's called Ordinary Time. It's a total of about 25 weeks from June until late November. It's abundantly clear that we are going into that ordinary time, that ordinary season, with COVID a reality that is still shaping much of our lives. What will get us through? Here's what I'm thinking about. In 25 years or so, when all of my little nieces and nephews are grown and they're headed towards 30 years old, like many of the little children in our community, I hope that they will say that this generation, our generation of disciples, did a good job back in 2020 during that COVID-19 season. That we were disciples that lived into an imaginative faith, that in this season we were faithful to gather and to pray our way through, and the Holy Spirit met us powerfully. Hopefully that legacy will be ours to leave for the generation that comes behind us. The ordinary season of 2020 wasn't ordinary at all. In fact, it was marked by the extraordinary activity of the Holy Spirit and new life in the church. Please pray with me. Lord, all of this talk was just this. It was a prayer for your Spirit to abide in us, in power, in love, and with wisdom while we wait on you. Thank you that while you call us, you don't leave us abandoned, but that you remain even our companion along the way and our advocate. We surrender ourselves to you for your glory and for your work in this season of our lives together. Amen.